God, let somebody stand in the reading of the Word of God tonight, okay? Why don't you turn in your Bibles right back to where we were this morning in the book of Acts and chapter number 21. If you would, please, Acts and chapter number 21 in the Word of God one more time tonight, okay? And we'll do our best to get right back into the Word of God where we left off this morning and finish up what I wanted to say about Paul and about his dedication that he had for the Lord and for the Lord's service. And we're going to begin reading once again in verse 1 and read right on down through verse number 14 of the book of Acts in chapter number 21. Luke writing here, and he says, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and then the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there seven days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship and returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Petapolis and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, and did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, The will of the Lord be done. May the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the privilege to be back in God's house tonight, for the songs that we've sang and for the fellowship we've enjoyed. Thank you, Lord, for the morning hour. And I pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts tonight through thy word. God, that you'd give us grace and divine help that we need. We're living, Lord, in such troublesome times, and perilous days are surely upon us. And we need your divine grace, your help, your mercy. We ask you, Lord, to bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight to every heart, reaching deep down in the depths of the souls of those that are lost, and save them. Your people, may they find encouragement and strength and help. May your name be magnified tonight, Lord. And I pray you help me as I stand tonight. Give me the grace that I need, your wisdom, the understanding, the power. Help me to preach thy word, Lord, with boldness and clarity, with mercy and grace, and do a blessed work in the hearts and lives of your people through it. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, I begin this morning preaching to you on the thought of dedicated till death. And done my best this morning to point out in several ways that Paul was dedicated in his life, and tried to apply that to you and I as God's children, and how that we also are to be dedicated children of the Lord. And I believe we should. That's one of the greatest things that man can do, and that's to be dedicated and devoted, not only to the work and the service of the Lord, but to His house and His work and ministry as well. And I don't want to take time to rehash everything this morning, just simply to say that Paul had been warned on several occasions that the trip back to Jerusalem, I believe his last trip, would bring him into great trouble. He was warned on several occasions that he would be bound there by the Jews and delivered over to the Gentiles and would be more or less sentenced to be locked up, put away, and finally put to death. And that which he was, he lost his head while in the prison there in Rome. And I don't want to rehash all that. Just talking about his dedication, how dedicated Paul was till death there in verse 13, where Paul answered those and said, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart?" Paul saw them weeping over him. And they had a mutual love one for another. They wept over Paul because they knew what surely awaited him there, trouble and hardship and heartache. And yet he said back to them, he said, "I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die. I'm ready to die," Paul said, at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And as I said this morning, I wonder how many of us could truly say that we're ready, really ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. If we was really put to test tonight, if our faith was put to test, like John and Betty Stamm, and we were threatened with being brutally murdered for the gospel's sake, would we do like them and continue to take a stand, or would we capitulate and give up our faith? You know, if our faith is worth anything at all, it ought to be worth our life, because our faith is our life. It is through the faith in the Lord Jesus that we have life, and we have it more abundantly. And it ought to be worth our faith. It ought to be worth our life. It really should. And we ought to be willing to give our life for the name of Christ and for the cause of Christ, just like Paul did. Now, I mentioned some things this morning, but tonight I just want to mention four or five areas and I'll be very brief, but I want to mention four or five areas where Paul was really dedicated in his life, I think, dedicated till death, that he stayed with it till the day there in chapter number 4 of 2 Timothy, that he finished his course and went on to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin tonight by simply saying that Paul was dedicated to his call, And, you know, there's not many people today. I just wrote down here in my notes, just describe God's call on a man's life. You know, I'm satisfied there's not really many people today that understand what it means, truly means, to have the call of God upon your life. Being called of God to preach the gospel is more than just going into the ministry and becoming a clergyman. You know, a lot of people have got that idea that you just go off to some school and they make you a preacher, or make you a holy father, or whatever, you know, denomination you happen to choose. And so they say that that's a call of God. But, you know, a call of God is not that. A call of God is something much higher and much holier than that. It's higher than the office of the president. I've heard a preacher say one time, and I had to think on it a while. He said, "For me to become president, I'd have to step down from the office that I now hold as a pastor of a church and a preacher of the gospel." Now, I had to think on that for a little while, but after I thought on it, I thought it's true, because it's man that elects the president, but it's God that calls a preacher. And that call is without repentance. God's calling is without repentance. He doesn't call a man to preach the gospel and then let him off the hook. Now, a man may sin and in such a way that God sets him on the shelf, but that does not negate the call of God on his life. That call will always be there. The man may live a miserable life, but he'll never get away from that call that's on him to preach the gospel. But Paul was dedicated to his call. Wherever God called him to go, that's where he went. Whatever message it was that God laid on his heart, that's what he preached. Whatever people that the Lord sent him to, that's where he went. He was devoted to that call. And as I said, there's not many people today know what the call of God is. I mean, it's just like, you know, and I don't want to say this in a way to trouble your heart now, but I've been aggravated to death by the people down at the VA on when I'm going to retire. Well, what they don't understand is that a man of God don't retire. You do your best to refire instead of retire, but there's no retiring. Now, you might change your course of your ministry, and God may change your course, but He never changes the call. The call remains the same, even if the course does change. And Paul here was dedicated to that call. Notice what it says in Romans chapter number 15 and verses 18 and 19. Paul said, "For I will not dare speak of any of these things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and by deed." Paul said, "I'm not going to speak or boast of another man's line of work. If I've got anything that I can brag about, it would be in what I've done for the glory and honor of God." But he said, "I'm not going to say anything that hath not been wrought by me. I'm going to tell you straightforward what I've done in the ministry." And Paul did. Paul didn't beat around the bush about it. When it come time for him to preach the gospel, he was straightforward. And in fact, Peter said, "There's many things that our dear brother preaches that's hard to be understood," but said, "Nevertheless, he is a preacher of the gospel." And Paul was. He was straightforward with people and preached the word of God. Then he said in verse 19 of that same chapter, he said, same verse, he said, "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Paul said, "I'm not giving up preaching until I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." You know, and I looked that word up. I've looked that word up fully and exactly what it means. And it means to cram or to level up. It means to cram or to level up. And there'd be no place left at all there that had never heard the gospel, a clear-cut presentation of the gospel. Paul said, "I'm not going to rest until everywhere around me and every person around me has not only heard the gospel, but they've heard it in the power of the Spirit of God, till they've heard a clear-cut presentation of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God and the salvation." And you know, and I'd be willing to say that there's people all around us that have probably never heard a clear-cut presentation of the gospel of Christ, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And there's so many people that have really never heard that. But Paul was dedicated to that call to preach the gospel unto death. He was ready to preach until his dying day and fully preach it. I mean, just keep on preaching until he could not possibly preach any longer. You know who I thought about when I read that and penned this little note down in my, and it's going to shock some of you. He wasn't, I know, a favorite of a lot of people in this area, but I'll have to give him credit for it. He stood with the stuff until the day he died. And he had a radio broadcast on WSOF radio. Many of you probably can remember Dr. Paul Levine and Bible Tract Echoes. I don't know if you remember that program or not, but old Dr. Paul Levine and Bible Tract Echoes had a radio broadcast on WSOF. And I'm amazed at that old gentleman. His last days of his life, he did his radio broadcast on a bed, laying in bed, nigh to death, and preached his last broadcast in a bed that he died on the very next day before it come time for him to do that broadcast tape and to send it out. And what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying there was a man that believed in fully preaching the gospel unto death. He preached the gospel. He was dedicated to the gospel of Christ, and it come time to die. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to preach the gospel when you got the flu. It's hard to preach the gospel when you got a headache. It's hard to stand up and preach when you got any kind of sickness at all. But here is an old man that had, as far as I know, was dying from cancer, and yet on his dying bed was still making broadcast tapes and sending them out to radio stations, trying to tell people about the Son of God and about His power to save his ability to redeem those that would come unto him, that man was dedicated. Now, you can say what you want to say about his easy believism side of him, but you cannot deny the fact that he was dedicated to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was that kind of a man. Paul was we need men like that, that are willing to preach even unto death. Now, there's some men in the old days that preached against all kind of odds. I mean, they stood up against all kind of odds. I mean, men were ready to kill them and did try to beat some of them to death to prevent them from preaching the gospel. But some of them just laid into it and kept on preaching. I'm going to tell you, some of the old timers, Brother Gray, had something that we didn't have today. They did. They had dedicated themselves to preaching the gospel till they laid down on their deathbed and went home to be with the Lord. Now, he was dedicated to a place and to a people of God's choosing, and that he was. It wasn't his choice where he was to go preach and who he was to preach to. It was God's. When a man is truly called to preach the gospel, God doesn't leave it up to that man where he wants to go and what people he wants to preach to. When God calls you, he's got a place and he's got a people and he's got them prepared for you to get there and to preach to them. I believe that with all my heart. I do. I believe that God's got a place and a people to preach to. And by the way, I want to say this. As long as I'm pastoring in this church, I've got, and people come in here and behave themselves, I have got a responsibility to preach the gospel to whoever walks through those doors back there. I don't care what color their skin may be, how poor they may be, what kind of living conditions they may be living in, I have got a responsibility from the Lord Jesus to preach to them people the gospel. Their soul is precious in His sight. He shed His blood for the souls of fallen humanity. And as far as I know, they are fallen humanity and need to be saved by the grace of God. And I tell you, there's some men that are not that way. I heard say not long ago from some, I'm not going to say who it was, but because you would know them and people on the radio would know them, that they said this black couple walked into the house of God and one Sunday and came back the next Sunday. And the second Sunday they came back, one of the deacons went to where they were and told them that they weren't welcome to come to that church anymore. And they never came back. Well, I'm going to tell you, when it comes time for that man to stand at the judgment seat, I don't care what color their skin is, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to have their blood on his hands for failing to preach the gospel to them. If they die and go to hell, he will face God to the judgment seat with the blood of those people on his hands. Hey, Paul didn't call anybody. He preached to the rich, to the poor, to the beggar, to the thief. He preached to kings. He preached to magistrates. It didn't matter to Paul who they were, what country they were in. If God said go there and carry the word of God to them, he went there and preached to them the gospel that was able to deliver them from their sin. Paul was that dedicated to them. Now, I want to say secondly, that Paul was dedicated to his course. I mean, he was dedicated to that course of life, that path of life that God had called him to. And I use that same verse that I used last week in my text. He said in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I wonder, do we? I asked that question this morning. Do we count our lives dear unto ourselves? We ought not to. We ought to count our life. Hey, we ought to count our life dear for the glory and honor of God, working and laboring for Him. Paul said, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do. Paul realized if he got selfish in his life, he couldn't finish his course with joy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's not only preachers, but it's for people sitting in the pew as well. If you finish your course in this life with a selfish attitude and a selfish spirit, wanting everything for yourself and nothing for anybody else, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to finish your course with joy. There is no greater joy in this world than being a servant to other people. Christ didn't come to be ministered to, but He came to minister to others and give His life a ransom for their sin. And by the way, that's exactly what He expects out of you and I, is to minister to other people. That is the joy of life, doing something for somebody else that brings joy to them. It ought to bring joy to us. But it doesn't seem like it does anymore, but it ought to. It ought to be a thrill to our soul to be able to do something for somebody else to help them along life's journey. Give somebody a helping hand. Buddy, I mean, that's right. Give somebody a helping hand. Give somebody a word of encouragement. A word like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Say something to somebody occasionally that you know it's in the church that's brokenhearted, somebody that's struggling, somebody that's full of hardship. Say something to them that'll encourage them along the way. That's our plans for the week, Mess Hall and I. Hey, there's a lot of people that's hurting today, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, there's people all over. I think of those people up on the East Coast. They've lost their homes. They've lost their automobiles. They've lost their clothes. They've lost everything they have, some of them. And some of them are hurting. I mean, they're hurting. And I want to tell you, thank God for a little money. Some of them haven't even got money yet. But it's going to take more than money. It's going to take somebody to tell them that God loves them. Amen. And in spite of their hardships, Christ has the power and the ability to see them through those troubled times. And He does, and He will. And God will say, God will see you and I through our troubled times as well, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly right. Now, Paul was dedicated to the cause. Whatever it was, the hardships that he faced, the troubles that he faced, whatever it was, he said, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I thought about, hey, what kind of course was Paul's life really on? Now, I started thinking about some of the obstacles that he faced in his life, in his ministry. A lot more than what you and I today. I wrote a few of them down. What about the perils that Paul found himself in from time to time? Perils of robbers. Perils in the deep. I mean, beaten of the Jews. I mean, that man was beaten 5 times with 40 stripes, save one. 5 times. When God called him and told Ananias that he was to be a special vessel under God's use, that's exactly what God meant. I don't believe there's a New Testament saint in the Word of God that suffered like Paul suffered, and yet he never let it get in his way of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never let his problems and his trials and his hardships get him down. God help us. I'm telling you, we can't hardly allow any little problem in our life today without it getting us completely down. I mean, it puts us on our flat of our back just to face a little trouble in life. But Paul faced those troubles. I'm talking about he faced death, looked death in the face a number of times, and still went on preaching the Word of God. You and I ought to be able to be a witness for Christ. We ought to be able to look death in the face and still be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. I thought about the perils of robbers, and I thought about the persecution that Paul endured. How many times he was persecuted by the Jews. How he was thrown in prison several times. Thank God one time was a good time for that old Philippian jailer. I bet he was glad to see Paul coming. Amen. That's right. When he heard him singing and praying at midnight, and the prison bars began to shake, rattle, and roll. Amen. And that old jailer sprang in Paul told him, don't you harm yourself. We're all here. And his question was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And what a time they had, not only there, but then when they went to this man's house, he fixed them something to eat, washed their stripes. Amen. Paul baptized them, took them back to prison, locked them back up. Took them back and locked them back up. And the next day, Paul made the magistrates themselves come down and unlock the door and let him out of that prison. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that was a man that was dedicated to the call of God upon his life and was a man dedicated to the course that God had given him to follow. I thought about the painfulness that Paul went through. I thought about the false teachers that he had to fight with. But there's a lot of them sorry devils in the country today, too. Father, right now, and all this crowd, you know, all this faith healing bunch, and all this and all that. I mean, I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. The crowd out there wants to tell you can have salvation today and lose it tomorrow, never know you had it, never know when you lost it, but they just know it's gone. They don't know when they got it and how they lost it, they just know it's gone. Now, that's an amazing thing to me, that you can get something that you don't know you got and lose it, never know you lose it, but you know it's there, been there, and gone. Hey, I don't believe that. The wind can't even blow and you not know it's been there and gone. You can tell by the leaves in the trees that it's been there and gone, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. Well, you can't lose it. It's secured in Him. Losing salvation would be like losing Jesus. You ain't going to lose Him, and He certainly ain't going to lose you. He knows where you are tonight. He's got His holy radar gun on you tonight. Knows exactly where you are. He knows the trouble you're in. He knows the heartache you're experiencing. He knows the woes that you're feeling tonight in your heart and soul. He knows those of you that have got financial problems. He knows those of you that have got family problems. He knows those of you that have got sickness in your family. He knows everything about everything. Everything about everything. And He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. He has set you on that course. Don't run from it. Embrace it and love it and thank God that He's counted you worthy to let you go through whatever it is that we're going through in life. Because all things still work together for our good. I know somebody said, well, that don't help much. Well, it's in the Word of God, ain't it? It's in the Word of God. I thought about Paul's hungers. It talks about this in Corinthians, about him being hungry. I don't think too many of us in here ever went too hungry. It talks about Paul being thirsty. But you know something? Like I said this morning, he went through a lot of troubles in life, and of course God gave him, but he never one time complained. I don't believe no other man but Job went through the sufferings that Paul did, and yet Paul never complained one time about the problems that he faced in life. What a man of God that he was. What an example he leaves for you and I. Not just to leave for preachers, but leaves for people, just lay people as well. What an example. Can go through all that and not complain about it. Knowing that the sufferings of this time cannot be compared with the glory which shall follow for those of us that have been saved by the grace of God. We may suffer now, but oh, what glory someday. Makes me want to kick this pulpit out of the way, praise God, jump up out of this stool, run about a half a dozen laps around the building. Brother, there's some glory coming our way someday. What a wonderful day it's going to be when the clouds will roll back, children. Amen. The door set in heaven. You and I are called up to meet the Lord in the air. What a glorious day that's going to be. We're going to walk through the street of gold, dangle our feet in the river of life. Eat from those trees of life planted alongside the river of life. And the water will proceed out of the rivers, will proceed out of the throne of grace. And it'll be the Word of God proceeding. That water represents the Word of God proceeding out of the throne of God. And I'm going to tell you, we'll be fed on that. And we'll dine on that. Amen. Oh, what glory it's going to be. Someday when this old body that hurts and aches in the morning will hurt and ache no more. Some of us will crawl out of bed in the morning with a grunt and a groan. And set our feet on the floor and moan and groan, and rightly so. I do every morning. I'm going to tell you, I told Miss Hall this morning, I said, honey, I must have laid on the left side last night. I said, every bone in my left side of my body's aching. And I lay on the right side tonight, and every bone in the right side will be aching. And I used to sing a little song. I'd say, up from the bed he arose, aching from his head to his toes. Buddy, I'm telling you, I was. But you know something? Those pains, those aches, we'll all be gone someday. When this body gives way to glory, we'll thank God that we were dedicated to the call that God gave us and dedicated to the course and the troubles that we had to endure. We'll thank God for it. We'll thank God for it. When it comes time to handing out those rewards, we'll thank God for those troublesome times. I do believe the more trouble, the more rewards. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe the more times that more trouble we face and come through them by the grace of God, the more we're going to have at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll make it so much easier on us. And I'll tell you something else. This is running a rabbit track. But if we'll keep confessed up with sin, we'll not face it there. That's right. I mean, fess up with sin every opportunity. I'm talking about every day. Every day. Somebody said, preacher, I don't sin every day. I'm telling you, you're in a body of sin. You can't help but to sin every day. This body of clay is a sinful body, and it has a sinful nature, and it is going to sin in one way or another every day of your life. I don't care what the holiness crowd try to tell you. You've not got that holy on the outside yet. We're holy on the inside. There's a new man in there. Old things have passed away. There's somebody new living on the inside. But I'm going to tell you something. This old body of clay that we're living in, it still hurts and it's still sinful. And it's still got pain in it. But one of these days, even that's going to be rolled away, and we're going to put on a new body. Thanks be unto our God. What a day that's going to be. Now, Paul never complained about it. Paul never coveted a thing that another man ever had. The Bible says so. Paul said himself in Acts 20:33, he said, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He said, I didn't want your money. I didn't want your gold. You know, there's some people think a preacher preaches for money. If a preacher preaches for money, you can tell whoever he is that I said he's an egg-sucking, sorry devil. I don't care who he is. I know we got to make a living. We got to have a salary. But a man don't preach for money. If he preaches for money, he ain't worth a powder and lead to blow in the kingdom come. Amen. We preach because we're called. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. That's right. We don't preach for that money, no sir. Now, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That's what we're talking about, the course. I finished it. There come to a time that he finished that course. He said, I have kept the faith. Now listen very carefully. I won't be much longer. I want to say number three. Paul was dedicated to Christ. There's no question about that. Romans 1:15. I know somebody's going to say, but you can't be dedicated to Christ without being dedicated to the gospel of Christ. And Paul said in Romans 1:15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So much as in me is, I'm ready. That'd be like me coming in here with my blood pressure down to about 70 over 20 and sitting down in this chair and looking at you and saying, as much as I got, praise God, I'm going to do my best to preach the gospel to you today. Paul said, as much as in me. He said, I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to give it all that I got. Oh, I've had people say, slow down. Back up a little bit. Slow down a little bit. Well, I've slowed down, but not by choice. But I have to. My necessity is laid upon me to slow down. Not because I want to slow down. I don't want to slow down. I don't want to back up. No, I want to preach as much as in me is. As much as I can muster up in my soul, I want to preach to you. And tell you the good news. Hey, it's not all gloom and doom for you and I. There's a light. And by the way, there's not a light at the end of the tunnel. Praise God, there's light all the way through the tunnel. Amen. He is the light. And he said he'd walk with us, didn't he? He is the light. From beginning to end, he's the light. His light sheds a whole lot of mercy on the way. Thank God, that's right. Now, Paul said he, as much as enemy was, he said, I'm ready to preach to you that are at Rome also. Now, remember, this was the gospel of Christ, not the gospel of Paul. This was the gospel of Christ. You said, well, how do you get it was dedicated to Christ? Because it was Christ's gospel. It wasn't Paul's gospel. It's not Paul's gospel. It's not your gospel. Paul didn't die and rise again. Neither did Paul. Paul and Hall, neither did you. I got a cousin named Paul Hall. Neither did Paul Hall. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Neither did you. But Jesus did. And this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is what? For me to live is Christ. And for me to die is gain. I wrote these three little things down. I said, Paul, he was ready to live for Christ. And he was. For me to live is Christ. Can I ask you that question tonight? Are you ready to live for Christ? Or are we all satisfied just right back living for ourselves? Or living for the world? Or living for whatever we can get? Or are we living for Christ tonight? Are we living for Him? He said, he was ready to live. He said, for me to live is Christ. And then he said, he was ready to preach. He not only ready to live, but he was ready to preach. He was not only ready to live and ready to preach, but he was ready to die. He said, in our text verse, he said, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if we can truly say that today, us men of God, that we're ready to live for Christ, we're ready to preach for Christ, and we're ready to die for Christ. I wonder if some of you out there could follow that in suit. Say, I'm ready to live for Christ, I'm ready to die for Christ. I'm not talking about half-heartedly living for Christ. I'm talking about giving Him our whole heart, our whole mind, our body, and our soul. Everything that we have, our talents, everything that's ours, just give it over, turn it all over to Him. It's His anyway, folks. Whatever we have, He gave to us. And that's right. We'll just turn it all over to Him and let Him have it. Just let Him have it. Now I'm going to tell you something else. Is there trouble in your life tonight? Let Him have it. Cast your care upon Him. He cares for you. Amen. Somebody said, how do you do that, preacher? It's not easy. But it can be done. He'll handle every care and every problem and carry every load that you've got if you let Him do it. Now, I want to move on. Then Paul, I want to say that Paul was also dedicated to his countrymen. Paul was dedicated to his countrymen. You know, our country is in bad, is in real perilous times tonight. America is in sad shape. I've never seen so much sin in our country as what I'm seeing today. It's on every hand. Drunkenness, sodomy, pedophiles, baby killers, abortion. I've never seen so much sin in all of drunkenness, dope. I've never seen so much sin as there is in America in my life. But you know something? That sin is there because of people. And I wonder really if we're dedicated to our countrymen. Here's what Paul said, everybody. If you can get a hold of this like I got a hold of it. Paul said in Romans 9:3, he said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you a word in that that we pass over. We never really stop and consider what it means. Look it up. But that word jumped out at me when I was wrote this down this morning, where Paul said, for I could wish. Wish? We talk about a wish being something mystical, mysterious, something like witchcraft, a wish. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, a wish upon a star, something of that nature. But Paul said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Brother Gray, I looked up that word in Strong's. I don't know Greek, but I know how to read a Strong's concordance. And I looked up that word in Strong's, and it means to pray to God. To pray to God. So the point I want to try to make here is that this was not just a thought that Paul occasionally let drift through his mind or occasionally considered that he wished. This was a prayer that he made on a earnest prayer and a continual prayer. Now, if you can get a hold of that, I'm going to tell you, talking about a real man of God that set an example. Here was a man that didn't just kind of hold his hand over his mouth and say, I want to pray. Lord, send me to hell, not my brethren. Oh, no. Paul prayed earnestly and fervently for his brethren, for his kinsmen according to the flesh, that they might be saved, his countrymen, that they might be saved. Amen. He wished that. He wished that himself. That he felt that himself could be a curse, that he could be made a curse and die and go to hell, that they might be saved, that they might be delivered. I'm telling you, I don't know anybody today. I don't know any preacher today. I certainly don't have that kind of grace and desire about me to see sinners come to Christ, see my countrymen come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would to God that I did have.
Amen.
I would to God that I had that kind of grace in my heart.
Amen.
That I could honestly wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen in the flesh. And I said, Brother Hall, you don't want to go to hell. No, and neither did Paul. But he had that kind of a love and that kind of a desire for the souls of men. I'm simply pointing out that we as God's people are falling short on the burden that we ought to have in our heart for the souls of men that are dying and going to hell without God and without hope. When Paul said, I could wish myself to die and go to hell for these, for my kinsmen in the flesh. I wonder if we feel that way ourselves today. I dare say that we don't, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder if we're really dedicated to our countrymen. How many times have we told somebody this week about Christ? How many times have we went to somebody this week and told them about the Lord Jesus Christ? How many tears have we wept over somebody's soul this week? Come on. How many tears have we wept over America tonight? I love our country. I fought for our country and would have died for our country and would do it again. Gladly would do it again if called upon. Even if the man that's president now asked me to go, I would go and fight for America. I love America. I wonder how many tears that you and I have shed for our country. And ask God to be merciful to America. I'm telling you, we're in a mess in America and don't realize it. And I don't believe even God's people much care, because the Bible is still right when it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Not the world turning from their wicked ways. God's people turning from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin and heal their land. That tells me three things there. One thing is our land. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Heal their land. It's our land. And it's our sins he forgives. And it's us that's in the sin. Not those people out there. That's right. And I wonder if we're really that concerned about our country. Are we really dedicated tonight to our countrymen that's lost and without God? Does it not break our heart to see them on their way at Broadway? It's leading them to a Christless eternity. Does it not trouble us at all? Does it not break our heart and cause us to weep, knowing they're going to hell without God and without hope? Ladies and gentlemen, one glimpse of hell would cause everybody in here to have a sudden change of heart and mind about what's going on in our land and about our own personal lives and what we're doing for the cause of Christ. Just one glimpse of hell. I'll never forget that crematory that man let me look in up in Kenai, Alaska. The most horrible sight I've ever seen in my life. Don't ever want to see it again, honestly. When he raised that door just a little bit and that old gentleman laying in there, fire, his rib cage, all the flesh was gone and the skeleton laying there and his rib cage sticking up, and it was just blue on the ends of those ribs. And soon he would burn to nothing. And I thought, my God, how could a man stand that? And the Holy Ghost come to my heart and said, hey, said that's only flesh. Think about the eternal souls of men that are cast into a lake of fire someday that will burn forever and ever. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if we really believe that or not. We say we believe the Bible, but I wonder if we really believe it or not. Have we let the world out there convince us as God's children that there is not a hell that's going to face us someday? Are we not dedicated to our countrymen enough to tell somebody about Christ, to try to keep them out of the awful gulf of sin, out of the abyss, out of the pit that has no bottom to it? I wonder. I wonder about me. And I can truthfully say to you, I know I don't. I know I don't care like I ought to care. I know I'm not as dedicated as I ought to be. I confess that to you and to the Lord. I know I'm not. I wish to God I could get that way. I sit from day to day and wonder, what's going to happen to those around us? I look at these people up here that living right next door to me, and I wonder what's going to happen to their soul. And it doesn't seem like we've got enough grace, enough energy, enough want to tell them about Christ. May God have mercy on us. I mean that. I mean that. Paul said in Romans 10:1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Somebody said, Brother Hall, said, how are we going to get them in? Well, we can love them in. I'm going to tell you, there's people out there that's looking for somebody to love them. Amen. To love them. I don't know how many of you, and I try to keep up with the news on the internet some. I don't make no bone apologies for that to nobody. There's a story on her today that touched my heart. There's this white woman. And she was on her way to work one day. And while traveling to work, there was a little black boy that stood along the corner. And as she passed by, he said, ma'am, said, if you got some change I can get something to eat with, I'm hungry. And she said she kept walking. And in a minute, the words echoed back in her mind again and said she stopped. She went back to that little black boy and said, let's go down to McDonald's and I'll buy you something to eat. So they walked to McDonald's, and she bought him something to eat. He was 11, that little boy was 11 years old at this time. They brought him and her on Huckabee, on a little segment of it, on a computer a while ago. And he had them on there. She was an older woman, and he was a grown man. And you know something? They had kept that little affair of theirs going since that boy was 11 years old. They met every Friday, and she bought him something to eat since he's 11 years old. His daddy was a dope addict. His mother was a prostitute. And there's that little boy standing there begging for something to eat. And that woman, they've kept that little thing going every Friday for all those years. They finally wrote a book about it. Huckabee says it's the most touching book I've ever read in my life. Said everybody that I in the country ought to read this book. Said it's one of the most touching stories that I've ever read. And truly it would be. Now here's the line of it. That little boy said, "Have you got something I can get me something to eat with?" I wonder how many they are out there tonight that's lost. And they look at you and I and say, "Have you got some money I can get me some bread with?" We could be like Peter and John and say, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." And we could give them the bread of life. We give them something better than a hamburger, something better than a McDonald's burger. We could give them a warm loaf from God's oven, and feed them on the Word of God and see them saved by God's marvelous grace. I wonder if we're that that woman was that dedicated that she fed that boy every Friday for all those years. That's something. That amazes me. Now, we can love them in. That woman, they loved each other. Not in a wrong way. They loved each other. She loved that little boy. We can love them in. We can show them love. People are looking for love. Then I want to say we can lead them in. We can, by example of our life, we can live a life before them that they'll desire and want. And we can lead them in by the life that we set before them. These people that's looking for somebody that's real. They're looking for somebody that's got what they say they got. And we can lead them in by our life. Now, I'm talking about being real Christians and leading them. And this last one, and I'm done when I say this, and I hope you won't laugh at it. We can life light them in. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what do you mean life light them in?" Hey, some may be that close to death. You know, somebody gets real close to death in an automobile accident, they life light them to the nearest hospital. Hey, some out there that's close to the abyss tonight, they're very close to hell. But they need more than love and they need more than lead. They need a life light to the house of God, to hear the gospel, that they might be saved by God's marvelous grace. I wonder if we're that dedicated. I wonder if we're Paul was. I wonder tonight if we are. Paul said, "I'm ready to die. I'm dedicated to him and his work enough that I'm ready to die at Jerusalem. Not just to be bound only, but I'm ready to die." Let's stand together.